What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have a brother, an amazing brother, DJ Legit, who's with us. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from, who you are?
Yes, sir. DJ Legit from Detroit, Michigan, based out of Louisville, Kentucky. Appreciate you having me, Daryl.
Appreciate you being here, man. Now, we would love to hear your story about how you got started in the DJ business. You know, here at the My DJ Story podcast, we want to give you an opportunity to educate the people on your journey so that way they don't go through the same pitfalls or the hardships that you went through and are able to help them in their journey. So, yeah, we'd love to hear you how you got started, kind of what sparked your interest.
Okay. My journey started back in actually, I want to say high school. I always had a love for music, but I never ever seen myself being a DJ. I was always into sports, had hoop dreams like most young brothers did. And I remember having a birthday party. It was either a birthday party or a graduation party. Whatever party it was, I was already kind of like a popular kid in high school. My parents threw me a party, and I just kind of expected to be a couple friends. You know, nothing too major. Celebrate some birthday, you high school kid. I want to, you know, take a couple pictures, eat some cake and ice cream, dance to a few songs and get out of there. So my dad actually at the time had booked radio DJ. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name, DJ Efeezy. He's based out of Miami right now. They ended up booking him to DJ the party, and he was on the radio. So I don't know if it was like just my popularity or him being on the radio, but a party that I thought was going to be maybe 20 or 30 people came out to be like 400 people. It was crazy. So, I mean, and at that time, I still didn't even really think much of it. I'm like, damn, like, this party was lit, you know what I mean? And everybody was talking about it for like 2 weeks. Like, bro, you had the biggest party, you had the loudest party. I'm like, all right, cool. So at the time, I was still doing, that was when teen parties was a thing. I used to go to teen parties often, but I never wanted to be a DJ. I never wanted to be a party promoter. I just was going out being a kid. So once the team promoters had got hip to me bringing like all these people to these parties, they're like, yo, we want you to host these parties. We want you to host these parties. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, fuck it. I didn't really think nothing of it. So for like maybe 2 months, I was like hosting these parties and I wasn't really doing shit, but like promoting them, bringing people. They would like make me sit on stage next to the DJ or whatever, but it wasn't nothing really in it for me. And those parties at a real club. So then, as I'm doing these, hosting these teen parties, like I'm getting a bigger name in the city. I'm getting a popular name in the city. And I had knew some DJs already. So long story short, maybe about 2 or 3 months after that, the club where I was hosting these teen parties, I guess, I don't know if the relationship between that promoter and the club owner just kind of like got diminished or what, but that the club owner reached out to me like, hey, I'm not really messing with this guy anymore. Do you want to throw parties here? And of course, I'm 16, 17 years old. I'm like, I don't know how to put together a party. I'm just a popular kid. So after that, I knew a guy who did like teen parties and college parties. So of course, I just try to connect the dots. I'm like, hey, I don't know how to do this, but my big homie does. And that was my boy, DJ John Q, who at the time, he wasn't really a DJ either. He was just kind of a promoter and he threw teen parties as well. He was like, all right, cool, yeah. And I connected them two. And at the time, when he started coming through and doing the party, the club was called Oasis in Louisville. It's not even there anymore, but I'm sure anybody listening, they who from Louisville, they'll know about Oasis. But yeah, John Q started throwing the parties there, and he started paying me. And I'm like, so I've been missing all this money this whole time? I'm like, what the fuck? You know, 17 years old, you get 50 bucks. Like, you think you're in the game. I mean, this is 10 years ago. You know, these little homies now I got more than 50 bucks, and it's regular, you know what I mean? But at the time, I was young. My parents took care of me. I didn't need no money, you know what I mean? So when they started throwing me money, I'm like, whoa, I've been missing out. So I started taking it a lot more serious. And at that time, the brand was growing, the crowd was growing. So I started being around DJs as a host. You know, you kind of build that relationship. So I didn't really know how to DJ, but I was always around. And it was just one specific time. I tell the story all the time, and I'm sure he doesn't remember. But it was a DJ named DJ Lil Carl at the time. He was kind of like the hottest DJ in Louisville at the time. He was DJing at Club Oasis, I was hosting. While he was DJing, he ran to the bathroom, and the song was going off. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, the song's going off. The DJ not here. So I had knew how to change the song. I just didn't know how to DJ. So I went over to change the song. He didn't come back for, like, 15 minutes. So I was just kind of up here just, I guess, DJing, but really just changing the song. So this girl I went to high school with, she had hit me up and was like, yo, I didn't know you was DJ. I'm like, I'm not, but he is. I'll connect you. And she was like, all right, cool. So I ended up connecting them, but the connection didn't go through. But she hit me up for another DJ. It was my DJ. What was his name? DJ Smoke J. I connected them. I told him about the whole experience, how I even got connected with her. He was like, all right, bet. So she did a birthday party like maybe 2 weeks later. And I ended up going with Smoke J. That was my guy. And he showed me how to hook the equipment up. And, like, you know, it wasn't nobody there in the beginning. So in the beginning, he just started letting me pretty much open up for him. He was kind of showing me the ropes. And I didn't think I wanted to be a DJ at that time. It was just something to do, especially because I was hosting these parties. So fast forward to 2009. That was probably like 2007, 2008, 2009. I was an athlete. I ran track. I had got hurt during the summer going into college. So I wasn't in my best health. And got out there trying to compete with the big boys, already injured. You know, again, didn't want to be a DJ. Just was a popular kid that lived in Louisville. Got out there first season, got hurt, put a muscle in my back, lost my scholarship. I didn't lose it. Due to me not being a performer, I lost it. And I'm like, damn, you know, and at that time I had probably gained like 30 pounds. So when I got back on the track, when I felt healthy enough, it just didn't feel the same. It became more of a job. But I was always the music man. I always loved music. So this is the time when LimeWire was hot. People were still doing CDs. People still have the phones where you could put the MP3s on their phone. So, like, I was like, man, I lost my scholarship. My parents not really trying to give me a bunch of money. You know what I mean? I got to get some money. So what I would do, I would go take the little money I had. I would go buy, like, fucking 20 Blake CDs from CVS. And then I would, like, make the random, like, mixes. Like, not no, like, DJ mix, but it'd just be, like, 15 mix songs from different people, and I would like label them as like a playlist. And I would just burn CDs and I would just sell them around campus like $3 and $5 until, you know, I sold all my CDs. And it would be so easy because I would have like 20 different playlists and I would just name them volume one, volume two, volume three, DJ Legit, volume four, five, six, and so on. So when it got to the point where people would be like, yo, who's selling all these CDs on campus? And they like, yo, DJ Legit is. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm DJ Legit. But I was never seen DJing. Nobody, I didn't even have a turntable, bro. All I had was a Toshiba laptop.
Wow. No, this is interesting, man. I think like you really kind of transitioned just your popularity and your ability to connect with people into something that, you know, was able to transition from working in the spot, the club spots, into, you know, selling CDs and just being the man that's providing the experience and the opportunity for other people to hear these songs. And you're more of like a curator of music. And then the people kind of push you to become a DJ because like your skill set and connecting people and bringing that vibe. So like, it was like a natural transition for you to become a DJ. So like from there, you know, who named you DJ Legit? Did they tell you that was your name or did you name yourself?
So, no, I didn't name myself. So what I did talk about was in high school, I ran with a lot of like wild dudes who wasn't making the best decisions. Out of all my homeboys, I was the only guy who lived in the suburbs. So they used to do whatever. I'm just saying this. They used to do whatever they did to get their money. I was in high school. And before I left high school, I had like two or three jobs. So my name was actually Legit Money because I was the only person like doing right. And I'm going to just leave it at that.
Makes sense. Okay. Cool. So you were selling CDs and people started like seeing that like you were selling a lot of CDs and you was really, you know, the man on campus, you know. So where did you kind of transition from just being the man putting together these CDs to actually DJ Legit as actually, you know, DJing and mixing music?
Right. So that was about 2010, like right around the time I lost the scholarship. I was still doing CDs and everybody was like, who is DJ Legit? DJ Legit. And there was actually some DJs on campus at the time. And it was just DJs. Nobody was selling CDs to me. So everybody wanted to know who DJ Legit was. I'm like, damn, bro, I don't have a turntable. I don't have a MacBook. So I ended up linking up with one of the DJs on campus. And he ironically happened to be from where I'm from in Detroit. So I linked up, man. I'm like, well, I'm going to be a DJ, bro. He's like, come in the crib. I'll show you. He had these big ass 1200 Newmark TT, like 25s. Big ass, make sure you have all the fresh equipment. And like, I'm looking at all this shit, like, yo, I call myself a DJ and I don't know how to work none of this. Like, nobody believed I was DJ because I never DJ. I just called myself a DJ. So I went over to DJ Fitted House and he showed me, like, pretty much how to use the turntable. So at that time, he was like, bro, just download this program called Virtual DJ on my laptop. And I probably had it for like maybe 3 weeks. Mind you, I had LimeWire downloaded on my computer too. So my shit was crashing like every 6 months. So after that, it was like, all right, bet I can DJ. Like, you know, you can like actually DJ from an auxiliary cord or you can perform music somewhere. So I would, you know, like in colleges, they have like different weeks, different fraternity sorority weeks, like campaign weeks. So people was like letting DJ like their weeks and stuff. And I was like making like maybe 10, 15 bucks. But at the time it was cool, you know, whatever. I was getting my name out there, but it got weird because people didn't like respect me as a DJ. Everybody else that was DJing is putting up with these big speakers and big turntables. And here I am, DJ Legit, just putting up with my laptop in the auxiliary court. It got to the point, bro, where it was like not even having me a table outside. Like I would be DJing with my laptop in my lap. And I'm like, man, fuck this, bro. Like, no, I got to do something better. So I took like, I remember I got my refund. I got my first little controller. It was probably about the size of a shoebox. A Newmark turntable. Didn't need the decks didn't even turn, but it was a step up, and it made my DJing look more official than just using my laptop. So what I did have was I had the personality. I had the people that supported me, you know. And at that time, I think if you was a personable person, it beats talent, you know what I'm saying? Because it was DJs on campus who was like, whoa, I'll never beat them, you know what I mean? But I was popular. I had friends. I had people who just genuinely supported me. And as time went on, you know, those DJs went out and I was able to grow.
I think I want to stop right here and highlight something. Like you mentioned that even though the other DJs had more talent as a DJ than you, you still had the relationships and people liked you. And it kind of highlights the importance of relationship building and being a good person and being someone that, you know, can relate to the people in the crowd. Like, it's not about just your skills as a DJ. It's about your ability to connect and build relationships with other people that ultimately make you a really good DJ. So you can't just have one without the other. So if you're a DJ out there, make sure you're also working on your people skills. That's how you really provide value to the people and become a really good DJ by having the skills to mix the music, but also having the skill to build relationships with people. So thank you for highlighting that, man. And you can keep on going with the story.
So, I mean, with that, man, back in the time, you know, it wasn't really about who was the greatest DJ. Back in that time, it was like, who can bring the most people to my party? And obviously, I was one of the popular guys. So I was getting booked from Louisville to Frankfurt to Lexington to Bowling Green. I was just getting booked. I was like the popular guy. And when those older DJs had kind of like went out and did bigger things, it was my time to shine. So I remember for like, man, at that point, I never even used Serato. I was still on Virtual DJ. But let me backtrack. So this is my like real debut. Popularly, we had the homecoming concert and everybody voted for DJ Legit to do the concert. And I don't know if the school just knew I wasn't ready to do a concert, but the students wanted me there, but they ended up booking me to DJ with another DJ, one of the older DJs. So I just showed up like I knew what I was doing. Came to the concert. It was Rick Ross and it was 2 Chainz and French Montana. And all I had was my Toshiba laptop. The other DJ was up there turning up. I was just virtual DJed out. So one of the opening acts had an opening DJ who had left a setup up there. It was some like another big turntable setup that I did not know how to use, but they left a laptop stand on there. So I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna just put my laptop stand in front of these turntables and act like I'm using them. But I was really just using my keyboard. Bro, I was in front of 5,000 people, bro. And I tore that fucking stage up. Like, I really was, like, really DJing. And nobody knew that I wasn't DJing besides the DJ next to me. And I was just using my laptop. So then from there, I'm like, wow, I can really do this. I just DJed a concert. So moving forward, I would be DJing parties where people would book two DJs and they would have these big setups, and I would be walking in with my little handheld toy Numark, and it started to just look really bad. And I'm like, bro, I need to like step my game up. But I was so scared, bro. Mind you, at this time, I was probably four or five years into using virtual DJ. I was so scared of Serato. But I remember one day, it was like 2014 or 15. I went to this club in Lexington called Envy. And they had an in-house setup. They had like turntables in the DJ booth. So you had to use them. And I'm like, bro, I can't use that controller. I don't know how, but they're like, bro, you got a DJ. So I had to like go across the street to like Starbucks, download Serato on my computer, come back, and I just plugged in. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I ended up like catching hold of it like really, really quickly, man. And it just took my whole DJ sound to another level, like a whole nother level. And something I had been scared of for 5 years, bro, I learned it one day. And wow. I'm like, damn, if I would have just did this 3-4 years ago, bro, ain't no telling what kind of money I would have had. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a valuable lesson that came out of it. You know, like, do things even though you're afraid to do them.
Yeah.
Because your fear will hold you back. And the things that you could have been doing way long ago could have been elevated your DJ career, have been held back because of that fear. But then you had the opportunity where you were kind of forced into it. But then you realize it wasn't really that bad. So the thing that you're afraid of is something that shouldn't really be an obstacle. But mentally, in your head, it's something that's holding you back. So anything out there like you're afraid of, like, yo, just give it a shot. Don't be afraid to just jump into the fire. You're going to be okay, and you'll be a stronger person after you complete that task. So amazing lessons coming out of your story, man. And, you know, from there, you know, you first used Serato and more professional DJ gear. You know, where did you go from there?
So I think that, like you said, man, it's super essential to take those chances, take risks, try different things, man, because I had spent so long DJing on virtual DJ. I think my ear for blends and mixes had just got retarded. Like, I was so good at blending that once I really learned how to use Serato, I was like one of the best mixers in Louisville, I think. I just had an ear for it. I can blend with my eyes closed. I spent so long. So then I would go from there to once again utilizing my brand, utilize my following to DJing internet radio. Lynx Online at the time was a radio station based out of Radcliffe, Kentucky. And there was another opportunity I just took advantage of. You know what I mean? Everybody knew I was a DJ at that time. I was going up as a DJ. So I would utilize that platform to like, yo, I'm DJing the radio night. Yo, I'm DJing the radio night. Like, damn, boy, you were just selling CDs, now you're on the radio. And granted, internet radio at that time wasn't that big. I made it look bigger than life. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the keys I've always used. Anything that I've done, whether I was DJing in the living room, whether I was DJing in a concert, whether I was DJing in a club, I always made it look bigger than what it was. So I used to blow the radio up. And from radio, that helped me get more bookings into the club scene. When I got the club scene, I made sure that I utilized, like, just making my brand look bigger than what the flyer did. So I would tell promoters, like, yo, I'll DJ a party, but I need my picture on it. It can't just be my name. People got to see me. You know what I mean? And when people came around, they like, oh, that's DJ Legit. So I just utilized that opportunity to meet new people, make sure I was sharing contacts, always had business cards, always shook hands, always took pictures, and just utilized that opportunity to be from club to club to party to party, and just take it from there and grew, man.
Wow, man. Now, I'm really liking this interview because it's showing a different side from most of the interviews I've done so far. Most of the people that come on here and tell me their story talks a lot about the skill of their DJ talent. You're on the other side where you're showing, hey, my talents as a business person, my talents as a person that know how to build relationships is what got me this far. And my DJ skills are elevating and growing as I journey in this DJ career of mine. So it's like you kind of showed the other side where personal relationships matter, being able to run business matters, and you got to be able to do it all and have that skill set as well. But even without the skill set of DJing, you still can make it far if you have the other side. So you're showing a lot of what anyone can do if you just work hard at it and you leverage the things that you're good at. You know, you double down on the things that you're great at, and you can make it far in any industry, man. So yeah, I would love to hear, you know, some of the things you're working on now and some of the things you got going on in the future.
Okay. Yeah, man, definitely. So when I left Frankfurt, down to K-State, where I was DJing most of my events at College Town, I moved to Louisville. Ideally, I was trying to do full-time radio, and I think that's what's going to take to get my brand to elevate. So I was doing like the holiday mix shows on B96 in Louisville. I did some mix shows on WGCI, B106 in Killeen, Texas. Just doing radio shows here and there. What I wanted to do ideally is be full-time, so I moved to Louisville, but the opportunity didn't work out for me. So right now I'm just trying to continue to build my brand because I still got a lot going on, man. And before October, I was still working in higher education. I was still party promoting. I was still selling cell phones. I had my hands dipped in a lot of things just to, you know, survive during the pandemic or whatever. So I think right now I'm just going to continue to build my brand so people know me as a full-time DJ. Another thing I like to do is just like work on myself. Like I want to work on myself. Before you can work on being a great DJ, I got to be a better me. I got to be a better Maury. So just being more mentally focused and continuing to grow. I'm doing a couple mixtapes with DJ Dizzy. We got a mixtape series. He owns a magazine company, Access KY. And just continue to stack my bread, get some better equipment, grow the brand, build relationships, build my network. Your network is your net worth. And just to continue to stay focused, man, and work through this pandemic.
All right, man. Super exciting stuff, man. I'm glad that we're building a relationship and I got to know you and hear your story. This is super amazing. I would love to jump into the lightning round now. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Great. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Hardware, 13-inch MacBook Pro. I got a DDJ SX2, DDJ SX. Software, iOS, Katana, and Serato.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Wow. My favorite DJ would have to be DJ Chaos.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
My favorite party or event will be that first concert ever DJed, and I don't have turntables.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
DJ Drama.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Getting cut off.
And shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Shout out to DJ Fresh. Shout out to DJ Dizzy. Shout out to DJ Z Nice. Shout out to the whole Allegiance. Shout out to DJ Easy. Shout out to DJ. Yeah, that was this setup right here.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to, sorry about that. Shout out to DJ Cam. Shout out to DJ Slick. John Q. D Nice. I know so many, man, who I rock with in the city, man. Shout out to DJ BJ. Shout out to DJ Zay, man. All of them are good dudes.
Awesome. We hope to hear their stories on the podcast, man. And where can people find you either online or in person if you're still doing events?
Man, I'm pretty much everywhere in the city, man. You're gonna have to be a good person out here to find me. I'm gonna be at Nirvana on Monday. No, not Nirvana. I won't be anywhere on Monday. Tuesdays I'll be at Nirvana. Wednesdays I'll be at Aura Lounge. Thursday I'll be at Body Language. Fridays and Saturdays I'll be at Nirvana. Sundays I'll be at Nirvana. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, everything is Legit the DJ. Legit the DJ spelled just like that. Legit the DJ on all platforms.
Awesome. Well, you guys hear DJ Legit here on the My DJ Story podcast. We just heard an amazing story, learned some valuable lessons about his career and his journey in the DJ business. So super happy to have you, brother. Looking forward to working with you more in the future.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate the opportunity. You keep grinding, man. You keep doing your thing and getting people on your platform. It's gonna be big for you, bro.
Thank you, brother. Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.